Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You're still kind of a radiophile,
right? I don't listen to the radio anymore. There's nothing to hear. But
who did you listen to besides us in the afternoon?
Back then, it was Don and Mike in the morning. Pretty much, you could rip the knob off, man. I was an all-day WAVA guy.
Rip the knob off.
Not trying
that
to
means when you rip the knob off, you can't listen to anything else.
Is your mom still with you, Greg?
She is. She thought the world of Colonel Colburn. Oh. So, you know, I was thrilled to discover that you were BFFs with him. To be able to go to her and say, like, does this mean you respect Mike more? Or do you respect Colonel Colburn less? Oh.
My sister has said, well, you're probably going to get the house. And because they live in California, why would they want a house in Albany, right?
Right, right.
I mean, I'll take a house. I'm not going to lie about that.
I'll take a house.
My mom still
lives.
I'll take
this pile of bricks.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Mike O'Mara. To be honest with you, yeah.
Oscar Santana.
Sorry.
Rob Spiewak. And now here's Mike.
That's my hand cue today.
Okay.
Just do that.
Tight.
Just that.
Tight.
Like them all, bam, bam, bam. I did not expect to see Rob in studio today because I thought you guys were getting some sort of horrible winter event up there.
The winter event continues. It continues.
On the homepage today, we'll have an update on Texas for our Texas friends down there, which is relatively good news, which is okay. But I thought, what is the current state of affairs? Is it the rain-snow line again?
Yeah,
in,
it was
DC, which it always is.
Like a donut. My car was glazed this morning, and it got better as I got closer to the city. But as I parked, snow began.
Do you have any vehicles in your garage?
No, there's too much crap in my garage because all of Julia's.
Do you need it?
Well, we have to store it because remember, Julia is supposed to have an apartment right now, and she does not.
So you're storing her stuff in your
garage?
There's
furniture in our garage, yes. And so I would put the furniture on the driveway, but it probably wouldn't wear well.
When she moves out, will you have room for an automobile in
there? Yes, and we have kept an automobile in the garage before, but it's not in the cards right now.
My garage, Rob, is so challenged.
Why?
It's like, just as soon as we get it organized, do you remember the incident of the water main break?
Yes.
I literally was throwing stuff around in the garage, and in this speedy life we live, I have not gotten back to. I rearranged some of the bicycles that had been knocked over, but does this make me white trash? We've got a little rule in the community here that you can't put. But we got a huge entryway to the house,
okay,
which we didn't have in our old house.
Yes,
and it's perfect. Yeah. For just putting a bike or two in there.
Right.
Just and we're not allowed to. And we had them out there, and somebody ratted us out. And I just think
you mean like a porch?
Yeah, it's like a front porch.
Yeah.
It's a front porch.
Okay, why
can't you keep your bike out there?
We're not allowed. It's a homeowners association. We're not allowed.
Oh. That's
a
stupid rule.
But I'm
what about a fence of bikes made out of bikes?
That's Manassas.
That's Manassas.
Okay, sorry.
And that was an artist. That was an artist.
I don't know about that.
I think she was. I think she was a...
Art is in the eye of the beholder, and that, to me, looked kind of like the set of Sanford and Son.
No. I think that she had them painted the same color in Manassas. Yeah, I thought that was artistic.
Yeah, you can paint dog poop, too. I mean, and it's
you
still
hated it?
I hated it. I thought it was stupid.
Why did you think it was stupid?
I didn't like... It's a fence made out of bicycles.
Also, maybe we just didn't know that the heart of culture, there are cities like Paris, New York, some may say Manassas,
New York,
I don't
London,
know.
London, Paris, Munich, everybody talk about pop music, talk about pop music.
Do you know the artist of that song, Mike?
Muzak or something like that?
M. Simply the letter M.
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 Okay.
M.
All right. Very good.
But I didn't like
them. Correct?
No, 79, I think. But
can
I
you
didn't
find
like,
it?
Yeah.
Because I think we need to, when we talk about songs like this,
talk about
now that our audience is skewed a little bit younger, and there are people that have no memory of the one-hit wonders of the 80s. They might know the songs that were made popular on classic rock because that endures that format. But on the 80s, top 40 radio on the 80s, which we played a lot of it, songs like this are probably forever forgotten, you know?
I would love to do a bonus show about one-hit wonders of the 80s. because there was
hey, everybody.
Great
Power 105 WAVA. How you doing? I'm Mike O'Mara. I'll be your host for this afternoon. Did I step on it?
No, you actually you nailed it.
Right
and
there.
Mike, if you wanted to grab the LP, I can see the info here. This is on KTEL's Starflight album, available in stores.
Oh, you walked over the start. Start it again. You talked over the whole
record. Well, no, you did. You did. You hit the original
intro. Yeah, but I want to hear the two posts.
What's
two
posts, Rob?
You know that. Yeah, it's a fabulous day in Washington. Listen, you might want to put the extra galoshes on if you're heading outside. You know, it's going to be a chance of snow today. And also maybe sleet, freezing rain, warm temperatures, cold temperatures. Who knows? Yeah, that's right. It's pop music by the group M.
Do you remember,
Nice.
The disc jockey Uncle Johnny?
Yeah, Uncle Johnny with his Kiana shirts on. His silk shirts.
He did a parody record in the 80s called Slush Turtles. And it was to this song. Instead of pop, pop, pop music, it was slush, slush, slush turtles. And they were mythical creatures that lived in the slush on the streets of D.C.
I forget sometimes that you were a radiophile. So if you were listening to Uncle Johnny, and I listened to Uncle Johnny when I was in college, that means you were like 8 or 9 or 10 listening to Uncle Johnny on Q107.
Fourth grade, so that would put me 9 or 10 years old.
So that's pop music.
Yeah, that's pop music right there. But
It was Uncle Johnny. It was
Dude and Doug in the morning.
Dude and Doug followed by Elliot and Woodside.
Yeah.
Was it Elliot and Woodside?
Good morning. Hi.
Jim Elliot and Scott Woodside on Q107. Hi. And okay, Uncle Johnny, I'm trying to think who the other disc jockeys
were.
You had a
comic on your refrigerator that had like a crying child.
It had a crying child that said the mother is consoling the child standing at the kitchen table. It says, "Don't worry, son. I remember when I met my first disc jockey."
That was my reaction when I saw a picture.
No, when I saw my first disc
that
jockey.
That was my reaction when I saw my cousin's autographed picture of Uncle Johnny. I said, that's what he looks like?
But to this day, one of the greatest radio, if not the greatest radio commercial that ever existed. And I think it was nationally produced, so I believe it was used for other radio stations, but I could be wrong. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous model with almost like a Farrah Fawcett look.
Exactly.
And, and a close-up of her, and she's lip-syncing to the DJs. And it was absolutely spectacular. That was the last vestige. When you grew up with DJs and you had these guys that were larger than life and just were so good at the patter and what they did, and it was so much fun to listen to. I really would love that to come back. I'd love to have those guys come back. It'll never be there because it's a different world. I sound like an old man now.
It's probably Ocean City. It's the only place you'll ever find something like that. Like
it
Batman.
Was so,
DJ Batman.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, DJ Batman.
DJ Batman. It's quite excellent.
No, DJ Batman's not a radio DJ of any
Mike, that
Thank
spot
you.
I remember clearly, and it's on YouTube because I've looked it up, and they called it, I think they called her the Mouth, and she was great because at that time.
She did for other radio stations, right? LA, DC, New York,
but
probably.
At that time, Q107 had this, their logo for the top of the hour had a laser in it. It was a great laser.
Yeah. What did she do with her mouth for the laser?
She like fluttered her lips and it was incredibly. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
it
so she
was.
Would, oh, it was hot.
There was never a better. Never. Mm. Look up Q107. What's the girl called?
I think it's called The Mouth. 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 Yeah.
The Mouth. Mm.
It's absolutely. You know what? This is worth going.
And you know what, Mike? How about this? It is 35 years later, and we're still talking about it. That's an ad. That's a commercial.
What do we do on WABA? We work with a chimp. You know what I mean?
But also, you have to know that for Q107, that's what's known as the Christopher Cross effect, because they didn't show Christopher Cross on his album because they were scared that people didn't like the way he would look. So for this spot, they didn't show the DJs. You heard the DJs and saw a beautiful woman.
Oh, I've seen this. Yeah,
it's
I remember
great.
This as a kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I found it right here. I don't know if I can play it, but I can play the video for you guys.
Sure.
Hold on.
Oh, that's her. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Oh, there she is. Yeah, hold that up, Oscar. Right. So
yeah.
There you go.
There's her mouth.
All right, I'm going to bring it up here and We'll see if that comes up there. I know we got the talking head coming later.
I'm going to show you something right on cue.
Q107 with at least 3 commercial-free hours coming up right on cue.
Q107.
Hey, Jude.
She does the lips to the music.
$1,000. Q107 with Uncle Johnny. We got some good time rock and roll on the queue.
Less commercials, more music. Q107.
She does her tongue.
Yeah.
She didn't do her lips. She does her tongue for the stingers. Really, really cool. Super cool. There she is. Hard to see that, but that's
too much
that
light
is
on.
Very,
that.
Very,
what's
very
great,
cool.
Mike, that girl that's in that spot, she's now 92 years old.
You can make her out here. Right?
Yeah. Hold on. It's the angle. It's the angle.
It's the angle. It's the angle. Too many lights.
Lights.
It's a remarkable radio station.
That's it. And then she just smiles. It's a remarkable radio station.
So good.
Absolutely the best.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You called it, though. How did you remember the Farrah Fawcett? That hair is perfect.
Oh, it burns in your mind.
Because, you know, that's why we're able to talk about it now, because it was that cool a commercial, and it's a throwback. And Q107 was the station in Washington before I got on the new kid in town, which was WAVA, which was Power 105. And
there were pretenders to the throne. There was B106. Which would
there
eventually
was B106
become,
that tried
to WJFK. It was the same
that
facility.
Turned into WJFK, and you know, radio was fun back then. It was,
and there was
a
television.
Era.
But you remember the there was also WMAL commercials with Andy Ockershausen walking around talking to all the talent of WMAL.
we found his savant moment, haven't we? He's now bringing up things that are in his brain that have never left.
Oh, this
that,
is from the 1950s.
But you know, growing up around my grandparents, WMAL was the station, because that was before the initial death of AM radio, and it was the definition of a full service radio station. So
I'm curious,
WMAL was
you
a
didn't
big
drive,
deal.
You weren't driving in this,
right.
And that's when I almost exclusively my radio content was consumed in the car.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I would listen to other radio stations, and that's when I still listen to radio when I'm in the car.
Right.
So I'm curious. Being a kid that didn't drive, did you have the radio? How did you consume radio?
We were a radio family. I woke up to radio. That was my alarm. There was a radio in the kitchen. A lot of people were watching the Today Show in the morning, but we had the radio on. And so we had a radio in the kitchen. And then, of course, you'd listen to the radio after school. And you know, and
but I mean, so you'd come home and turn on the radio? Is
absolutely.
That what it
was? Yeah, I did homework
that's
by
cool.
the radio.
That's but when you'd cool. work in the fields, you'd take a radio out there.
Well, that was different. That was, well, I mean, you don't want to confuse it with the radio.
That was the radio they did to keep the crows away.
It's raccoons, it, Mike. It. Raccoons.
Raccoons.
But you know, when I wasn't working in the fields, and I love how you phrase that, Oscar, when I was working in the fields.
No shame in hard work.
But when I was tending the vegetable stand, there was always a radio there. Always a radio.
Okay. So I didn't know that. I didn't know how, that's how you got into, that's how you became a radiophile. And you're still kind of a radiophile.
Yeah,
right?
I don't listen to the radio anymore. There's nothing to hear. But
who did you listen to besides us in the afternoon? Who did you listen to anybody else besides the Don and Mike show in the afternoon?
Well, back then it was Don and Mike in the morning.
Oh, that's right. Don and Mike in the morning on WAVA.
But I listened, pretty much you could rip the knob off, man. I was an all-day WAVA guy. And this is not blowing smoke and not trying to
rip the knob off.
Not trying
that
to
means when you rip the knob off, you can't listen to anything else.
You don't want to restate something that, you know, has been said. But that was an era in like from 85 to 89 when I was in high school that on WAVA, they created such excitement throughout the day. It wasn't that you wanted to listen. You were afraid not to listen because you might miss something. They had contesting throughout the day that related day part to day part to day part.
Yeah,
every jock was a great personality, but with a different tone. And so when I was working in the fields and then tending the stand, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., I would have WAVA on somehow. And I'd be listening
to it. Well, and little things that change, and that's why, getting back to the weather here, when there would be a weather system where you would hang by the radio.
Yes.
And when I grew up, the person that told us we weren't going to have school was the guy on the radio. There were no phone calls.
There was not
a phone tree.
No,
it was
nothing.
Long before the internet, and I will tell you, it was the moments of crushing disappointment. This is where I think I honed and refined my lack of patience.
Okay.
Because I would be sitting there and they would go through the list and Glastonbury, which was my hometown public schools, it would just be he'd run through, and once he got past the G's, I'm like, I remember looking at my mom going, Is he even going to mention us? Not even 2 hours late? What is the deal? And of course, the older I got, the worse I was. This is where little Mike became big Mike.
Yeah.
You know, this is where the transition occurred. It's like, what's it, the deal? I mean, that we're going to slide to school. It's ridiculous. Mom!
I think it was my sophomore year of high school is when I gamed the system, and I somehow, through lots of trial and error, figured out the direct dial number to the WMAL newsroom, and I would call and ask for Bud Steele, who was the news director at WMAL, and say, Jesus, what are the closings tomorrow? And I remember we had a great blizzard, 10th grade, where schools were closed.
Little Rob calling the news director at the number one station in Washington. Oh, it's that little fart calling me again.
But hasn't he hit puberty yet?
We had like 7 days of school closed in a row, but we were still able to get around. So we're like, I think we're hanging at Chris Roper's house. And we said, is there going to be school tomorrow? I said, I'll find out. And I took a landline phone, and called WMAL. No school tomorrow in Fairfax County. I said, thank you, bud.
He'd get on with you.
Yes,
of course. Did you do it? How much did you do it, Karen? Because you were the kind of kid, I think, that really liked school, probably, right?
I like to not go to school.
Okay, so you didn't mind a snow day, but you really just wanted to talk to the radio personnel.
That was part of it, but also there was the efficiency of it, not having to wait to the next morning to hear the announcement. Because they weren't doing the pre-announcements like they do now. Now, you know, it happens at 5:30 at night. You get a text and a phone call and an email from Wade all at the same time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. By the way, for the people that, speaking of schools, participated in the Kids Heart Health Challenge, my kid, his school was one of the top, if not the top one in the state, raising money, almost $30,000 the Heart Association. And I think that deserves a round of applause. And he was number three in his class for raising money. And I just think that's really, really special. And it's just kind of cool. We were looking at the chart today of, you know, what schools, and there he was. We salute, and they saluted everybody. But they salute our top money raisers, and there he was. And curious about that. And you learn very soon about the personality of a kid. And I said, okay, there are a couple of people that did really, really well, but you're number three. And he knew that he wasn't number one. And just he handles that stuff better than a lot of kids would.
What did he say? What did he say?
He said, sorry that your listeners are so cheap.
He's just a chill.
You jerk.
He's a chill little guy.
No, that's awesome.
He goes, I'll get him next year.
I said, we'll get him next year. Next year, we'll shoot for number one, buddy.
Yeah.
But there you are on the top three. Way to go. And look at all the money you raised for people with heart problems and kids. It's really terrific what your school did. And I just love his attitude. He's got a very good attitude.
Did he put his little hand on your leg and say, Pop, I want to help you too? Like something sweet like that?
You know, he didn't do that, Oscar ass. But I will tell you what he did. Can Oscar zoom your shot in a little bit? You're a little too far away.
I actually like it this way. Because when you go high def, Mike, I watched it yesterday.
Yes.
Maddie hates me. She wants me to look like I'm 500 pounds.
When we're doing a three shot, I can't see you well.
Jesus
I can't.
Christ.
I need you to be vain enough to do this.
Can you zoom in, please, Mr. Creosote?
You could bring your shot in.
Good luck, buddy.
Or something.
Up.
Well, I feel like I'm looking at your shelf instead of your head. There you go.
There you go.
Maybe a little tighter.
A little tighter on Rob.
That'd be great.
Don't mess with mine, Matty. I got a controller. Yeah.
You know, speaking of your son and actually hearts, we didn't talk.
How far away is he? He's in Cleveland.
That's fine.
Matty Maciel, you're the video director. Matt, let's talk to our video director since we've tweaked our cameras and we've tweaked our video setup. Matty, would you agree that our three shot now would not necessarily be uniform, correct?
I would agree. I will say the three shot isn't being put out to the world, so it really just affects the two of you. But I would say I did have a tighter shot on Oscar, but once he starts messing with the camera, I generally just kind of do what he says.
Just let me see your pretty face a little bit so I can see you a little bit.
Go tight. Let's see the mustache.
That works for Carla, not me.
What are you concerned about?
Because if I zoom in on this feed, not your feed, this feed goes to, for those of you that really hate me, go to YouTube from yesterday.
Your problem? You look fine. I don't even think about your appearance. What,
Mike,
are you worried about looking too fat?
Fat. And I'm not that fat.
I look fat. We all look fat.
But you guys are used to it.
No, but
I'm
you know
not.
What?
This
if
is
all
new
of
to
us
me.
Look fat, probably people think it's something wrong with their computer.
I've completely lost my train of thought now.
What the hell was I talking about?
Little Michael saying, I want to save you, Pop.
Right.
Too. So he was
okay.
Sweet.
Getting back to that, and Little Michael has, of late, it's a dad when you were a kid, when you were a kid, you were a kid. And he's also aware of, and it's sad for me, of being in the age group and you know, being the age difference between Michael and me and mommy and daddy.
Right.
But I have to say, and with the passing of Rush Limbaugh at 70 years of age,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that I'm alone in perceiving that as an early demise.
No, that's early.
Someone that was going to rock and roll with you know, with his job, and I'm sure for fans of him, even though I certainly did not like his show or his politics, but the people that did, I'm sure perceived that not as an old man passing away, but a guy maybe in the prime. And I think that has changed, and you know, made me feel good. I really think when I'm Rush Limbaugh's age, knock on wood, without any major health issues, that I will, you know, the guys I hang out with that have the 7 in front of their age are, to me, not what they were 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
Now, there are exceptions to the rule. I think there are professional old people around, but I don't feel like I'm a 61-year-old
guy. That's what I want to hear.
I do not feel that way. I don't feel that way at all. My passion is still my passion about everything else that I do. I think there you know, are physical things that I could probably list like any old guy, but I really don't think of that. And then I think of the guys that I hang out with that have a 7 in front of their name that are ridiculous. Guy that I said, I get it all the time. I said, you're how old? And it's I hate when people say it's the new 50, but I do think 70 is the new 50. I really do.
No, 60 really is probably the new 50. 70's pushing it.
What is 50?
I would introduce you to my guys, and I would tell you, you know, just I'm get teasing. Down here
my
and
dad
see
is
what
80,
they,
and he's traveling around the world still.
Yeah, well, he's escaping is what he's doing.
That is true.
Well, and of course, you've got the family meeting, too, this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Which,
it's so strange that we have to deal with this. I was just
joking
around.
Does it hang heavy in the air?
I don't want to make a list of things I want from my dad. I don't want anything. I want him to live,
Get the record player.
All right. We got you for an hour because you got to go pick up his brother at the airport. I want to do this. I want to break. And then what's that? What's that hum? Is that my hum?
Don't have a hum on our end.
None hum here.
Oh, my God. I got a hum.
We have none hum.
Gone. I know what it is. That's it. Sorry. Sorry, people. I'm a professional broadcaster.
Of course you are.
We have a talking head. I want to take
talking
a break.
Head.
All right.
I want to bring in the talking head. And then after we have our talking head, I want to delve into the Oscar family estate meeting.
Yes.
And
Pueblo
more fun
meeting, Mike. We call them Pueblos.
Pueblos. Oh,
that's right.
We're going to do the homepage, then the talking head, right?
Oh, the homepage. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's up to you, Mike. You can do
it's up to you.
Want.
I just want to make sure.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll do something when we come back.
Excellent.
Hit the music. All right. Very good. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oscar, it is your father.
I listen to The Mike Show.
The Mike Show!
And then,
The Mike Show!
There was a segment on The Mike Show where you talked about me dying and the list you gave me.
I am disappointed in you.
Am I your payaso? Which means, am I your clown?
Oh,
am I your clown, right, in Spanish?
No.
Am I your clown?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it sounds worse in Spanish.
Yeah, payaso.
Like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Your brother's being pushy. Tell him to back off.
Say hello to my little friend!
Don't be un payaso. The TMOS bonus show is an extra uncensored hour of La Diversión. Every week, order a subscription today by clicking the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com, and you'll have a plethora of the Mike Bonus Show.
Payaso.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. We will do our talking head, Rob Spiewak.
Okay,
so,
very good.
I know you arranged that, and that's got to be done the right way.
Let me get him out.
Think about this. Thanks to the lowest mortgage rates in history, the median price of a single-family home is up 15%. That surpasses the peak from the last property boom in 2005. And you know what Mike says about that? Glad I sold my house when I did. Duh.
Whether you want to tap into your house too, so it washes.
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
Yes.
Whether you want to tap into your home's equity, it's not about me.
No,
it's about the sponsor.
Yes.
Whether you want to tap into your home's equity, to pay off debt, refinance, and lose your PMI, or just shorten your loan term without chasing your payment. Now is the time to call my friend Mark Livingstone and his wonderful team. I want to speak to one of the team members right now. Joanna. Joanna, please call me this weekend. Joanna, we have addressed that problem. Joanna, from Cornerstone First Financial.
This is great.
Please call Mike this weekend. I'd like to hear your happy voice.
Oscar, this is called narrowcasting.
Yep. He's getting his mortgage business done, Joanna, during the mortgage spot.
It right. It has been a while since we spoke. Joanna, this is Herb. This is Herb Welch. Joanna, can you please call me? How's that? You want to... Okay. You were you late on that card? All right, anyway, sorry.
You were my mortgage analyst. What does that say to you?
Ollie! they can beat anything.
Yes.
Including a disc jockey. They can beat any mortgage offer. Call them now, 202-625-1221, or click cornerstonefirst.com. Send the folks at Cornerstone your most recent mortgage statement for a free comprehensive proposal and see how much money they can save you with 20 years in the business. They're great. Cornerstone First Financial. You're going to love. They got a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. And I always say rating. They have a AAA rating. All right. This is likely going to be the last time you ever need to refinance because the rates are so low. Make sure you're working with the good people at Cornerstone First Financial. You're going to love them. Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221. Personal attention from application to closing. All right, let's bring in our talking head right now, ladies and gentlemen. This is another very intelligent listener. I give you Dr. Greg Rader. Greg is a 33-year listener. Hello? 33. Morning. Are we all set? There
yes,
he is.
Yes, yeah.
Who hails from beautiful Fairfax Station. That's a pretty little town.
Beautiful.
In the Commonwealth of Virginia. Now living in Richmond. Go Rams. Greg is married 16 years to Laurel, who is a reading specialist teacher. He has a son, Emmett, a daughter, Annie, and 2 5-month-old puppies, Autumn and Ollie. Ollie, we were just talking about Ollie with the other. He discovered the show when a friend of his said he had to watch a new summertime fill-in show that was replacing Mike Hammer. That's what we replaced in the summertime. The primetime video zoo. Yuck. Sadly, he never saw the PTVZ.
That's what we called in the biz, Mike.
Is that what you called it? But it did inspire him to check out the radio show, and he's been with us ever since. His first radio memory of the show involves the Bengals and cheese. He went to James Madison University, class of 99, and got his master's in 01. He earned a doctorate in social psychology from a very prestigious university, UNC Chapel Hill. That's the brainy corridor down there in North Carolina. He currently works, certainly used his degree in banking as a data analyst.
Nice.
The password is overqualified. Yes, it made his doctorate a very expensive piece of framed paper and not much else. He has an association with Colonel Colburn. I'd love to hear about that. And he has a very opinionated mother. He credits the show with getting him through open heart surgery and the passing of his father. Wow. His biggest fear of COVID was that it would make TMOS cease to broadcast. It did not. He is a TMOS patron. God bless him. And a TMOS merch junkie. His favorite part of the show is our personal stories. But even more so, Greg loves Mike's impressions, especially local ones like Mayor Mary and Barry. I just go on a metro station. I'm dead, by the way.
I know.
I'm in the happy hunting ground, as they call it. I've gone to a version of Davy Jones' locker. I've shaken off the earthly coil. I'm deceased. No longer.
This is an ex-mayor.
Sorry, shaking off the mortal coil. It's not the, you know. And the metro guy, which is the same as Marion Barry, so he likes both those type of... Boom, boom.
Next stop. Farragut with Chinatown. Boom, boom.
I'm like a trained rabbit. I'll do it. Or a monkey. Since he is a doctor in social psychology, and this is what I think I might want to start with, he can offer psychological opinions on all of us on the show.
Oh.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's bring him in right now. This is Dr. Gregory Rader. Dr. Greg Rader. Hi, Greg. Good morning. How are you? Doctor, it's nice
doctor,
to have you
doctor,
on the
doctor,
show.
Whoa, doctor.
Whoa. From PhD in psychology to banking analyst, how does that happen, sir?
As I was finishing up grad school, I knew that I really didn't want to go into academia if at all possible, and the odds were very low that I'd be able to get a role there anyways. As I could probably get a job related to that in the DC area where there's a whole bunch of jobs. Like, I know the CIA hires people with my background, and that would have been really sexy. But you might find this possible to understand, but I did not want to end up back in the DC area if at all possible.
I can understand. Certainly understand.
Yeah.
That.
Yes,
I know
understand
what you're talking
that.
About.
Yes, sir.
The banking analyst, any occupation, from truck driver all the way through president of the United States, would probably have a psychology background would be beneficial, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It certainly got me my foot in the door, and then over time moved on to different jobs with my company. But yeah, it was definitely a foot in the door, and it's still my education carries with it a lot of good knowledge about things like relationships and how to make for a happy relationship and sort of how to navigate your day to day. So it still was certainly a worthwhile experience.
Did you trick them into hiring you?
I did not.
Okay, no. Just checking.
Rob would use a psychology. You'd use a psychology degree for evil, Rob.
Yeah. These are not the droids you're looking
let's
for.
Let's do half days. They're more productive.
Look, I'm so glad that this is one of my favorite segments because everybody brings something else to the table right here. But at the very end, it says, I can't get by with a degree, a doctorate in social psychology. I would love you to starting with Oscar, moving to Rob, and then to yours truly, I would love you to do a brief analysis for everybody on the show, because maybe it'll help us.
Yes.
I have no idea. If you feel like doing that, would you mind doing that for us? That would be great.
Just surface level, you know.
Well, let me begin by saying it's a common misconception that psychologists can just sort of know a few things about someone and nail their personality, but sure, I'm happy to give it a shot.
But I have to interrupt you there, Greg, and tell you that, you know, we're not talking about meeting somebody for the first time or having an interview on a couch. Yeah. You know us because you have been listening since the days of the worst television show in history, the Primetime Video Zoo. And so I would imagine that by listening to us for years,
the body of work.
You know, even if you are just somebody, opinions and doctorates are like a-holes. That's the way I look at it. So listening to us.
Because they say
is
opinions.
Is it doctors or psychologists?
Doctorates aren't like a-holes because everyone's got.
Yeah, not
opinions,
everyone has a doctor. Opinions
everybody's
are,
got
yeah.
an opinion on our personality.
Yeah.
Dive right in, Greg. Go ahead. Okay, start with the guy from Bolivia.
Sure.
That's me.
So, I think with Oscar, Oscar's obviously very motivated to be successful, whether that's, you know, fame or make money or things like that. Of course, in psychology, it's always about nature or nurture. Is it, you know, caused by your environment, or were you born this way? So with Oscar, I really am curious, is he so driven because it seems like all the other siblings in his family are so successful? Or is it because, Oscar's trying to keep up with, simply trying to keep up with all the achievements of his family members?
That's a great question. Great question.
Yeah. Oh. Sounds like the same thing, doesn't it, Rob? Doesn't he just say the same? All right, go ahead, Oscar. I'll let you
answer. Yeah, I think it started at an early age, and Doctor, I don't know if you've dealt with this before, but I was beaten as a child.
So
That'll get your motor going.
That's nurture.
So fear of corporal punishment is what drives
fear
you, Oscar?
Of disappointment, because when you're a kid these days, these soft butterfly days that we live in now, like you don't really have a fear of getting the beat down from your parents. You have the fear of disappointing them. If you can disappoint them and get beat down, that's double punishment. So
that's true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It gets your motor going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd probably be more driven if I was beaten, because I did fear disappointing my parents. Yes. But, yeah, that's what it is. So it's physical violence. That's really what it comes down to.
Probably not healthy. I'm broken inside, but I sure can work really hard.
Greg, let's move on to Rob Spiewak, because, you know, I want to You know what? Do me now. Excuse me.
How many times have you said that?
Analyze me, and then we'll get to Rob. Because Rob's the one that I want to get the most information on, as far as. But what would you say, listening to me? I certainly talk about the intergovernment an awful lot on the show, but I'd be interesting what you have to say about this.
Yeah, well, Mike, I think with you, it's very interesting that I feel like, you know, in your early 20s, you experienced a tremendous amount of success and adulation and things like that with your morning zoo days. And I think you were really, really, you know, at the top of the heap there. And I think with you know, I am curious about sort of what you know, there are very few people that get that level of praise and adulation.
Mike,
things
it's
like
okay.
That.
It's okay, Mike.
If I can translate, Mike, when you peaked in your 20s.
That's right. It's a long, slow slope.
Yeah? Yeah. So what's the second part of that?
Well, smart say, guy. You know, with very, very few celebrities, they stay on top forever. Sort of everyone sort of eventually comes down to earth. And so, you know, I do wonder sort of what that does to a person, how they sort of deal with you know, not being quite as outwardly successful as they were at one time in their life.
It might be the same way, Greg, as getting a $4 million degree and then working in a bank.
Oh, snap!
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I snapped. I'm very sorry.
Sorry, doctor. Sorry
for that. That's right. That's
spot on.
So again, that's nurture.
So I have to ask you, Doc, and we hate to put you on the spot here, but what would your point be about my? You're saying that where do you think that leaves me psychologically after all this?
Oh, well, you know, to paraphrase that post on the fan club earlier this week, Mike, I'm not your effing therapist.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, all right, let's move on.
And after that,
you dick.
Mike, if time is of the issue, anyway. We don't have to do me.
I think after his analysis of me, that it's going to be okay for you.
All right.
Well, let's get over to Rob Spiewak, Greg. And what do you think? What do you think of our Rob Spiewak over here?
Yeah, I mean, Rob, I almost see as like the opposite of Oscar. So Rob wants to do well, cares a lot about doing well. But I think he'd sort of rather stop and smell the roses than than kill himself trying to make a few more bucks. So he's a man after my own heart of, you know, again, like wants to put in the work, but isn't, it's more important to spend time with your family and, you know, enjoy life than simply try and, achieve success at all costs.
Well, to echo what Mike said, I guess my family is a job at a bank and, my career is a doctorate.
That's right.
But as you say, God. A man after your own heart, I'm really not insulting you. I'm just lining up with you.
Wow. Yeah. Well,
he's
that was
spot on.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's really based on those, you know, those profiles of all of us, Greg, I think it's pretty good that you're still a bank analyst.
Yeah, let's,
what is your association with Colonel Colburn? How do you know Colonel Colburn?
Yeah, so he was my private instructor throughout high school where I was. What was that, Rob?
I just said look out.
What? Stop it,
there
Rob.
Used to be,
Doctor,
there used
don't,
to be,
don't let him
there used to be a movie on Cinemax called Private School. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Show us on the picture. No, stop it. Michael's laughing harder than anybody now.
Oh, yeah.
So, what instrument did you play?
I was a euphonium player, just like.
Oh, you play the euphonium?
I did. I've not picked it up in 25 years or so, but yeah,
what is
I did
a euphonium?
It
it's a brass instrument, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. It's like a French horn.
Okay,
it's a bigger French horn.
All right.
Right? Is that what a euphonium? Can I always ask Colonel
like
Colburn?
Smaller what tuba. That's how I would describe it.
Smaller tuba.
Okay.
Did I capture the sound of the euphonium, Greg?
Sure did. Yep.
Nice.
Thank you. And well done. Your opinion and congratulations on being class of 99 from JMU, James Madison. That's exciting. What about your opinionated mother? Why did you during your pre-interview? Why did you mention that?
So she used to absolutely hate the Don and Mike show. She would refer to it as that sick show. I actually have a memory of my mother driving me to a private lesson with Colonel Colburn, and I had the Don and Mike show in the background, and you guys were discussing something like whether thongs should be worn inside or outside the butt crack or something like shock jock like that.
Yes.
And I remember my mother just saying, oh, we are not listening to this, and really turning the knob off.
Mm-hmm. So was she opinionated in other areas of your life? Is your mom still with you, Greg?
She is. She's extremely opinionated about certain subjects, but I'd rather not vent some of those publicly right now. I will say that she thought the world of Colonel Colburn. Aww. So, you know, I was thrilled when to discover that you were BFFs with him, to be able to go to her and say, like, does this mean you respect Mike more or do you respect Colonel Colburn less? She never gave me an answer.
You know what's interesting, Greg, is that I really believe you're being sincere with all these insults to me personally, and I think that anybody that would come into a meeting situation with Colonel Colburn, how could you not revere the guy? The guy's just such a class act.
Yes.
He, he is pure class. The way he lives his life, the way we communicate, and we go back and forth online a lot during the course of a year. And we also try, almost every year to get together with the Colburns, and that got screwed up with COVID. And I'm bummed about that because we had a meeting plan where we were going to go up to Quebec City, Canada in the summertime. Weren't able to do that. Weren't able to go see them at there. They have a new place up in Vermont. And by the way, his wife, Nancy, I revere her as well. She's just such a spectacular human being. So it's cool that you had contact with them. All right. Well, as far as you and your association with the show, you and listening, what is your favorite part besides the impressions and all that? Why do you continue? Because we don't do as many impressions as we do.
Right.
You like the personal stories, and how do you feel about the rants and the raves, Greg?
Great question.
When I have a full melt, because I've been dealing with a lot of introspection on that. And do you like the idea of implementing the new alarm if I bitch too much? Which I did even yesterday to Oscar when Oscar pissed me off.
You got very close. It was about to trip. It almost did.
I caught myself because the alarm was there, and I didn't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. Right. What's your take on that, Greg?
Yeah, I don't mind the bitching too much. And I'll say that, you know, as you've said many times, this show can be like therapy to you. It can be very cathartic.
Right.
And so, you know, if you need to get stuff off your chest, if that keeps you happy and keeps the show going, I'm fine with that.
All right.
Hell yeah. It's,
you know, and is there anybody, or I know you mentioned your kids before, anything you want to say before we let you go? Anybody you want to greet or anything, any message for our TMOS family before we say farewell to the good doctor?
Yeah, I'll say, you know, Mom, now I am on that sick show. and then, you know, Rob, if Julia needs anything while she's at VCU, I'm only a 20-minute drive away. If you ever want to go to King's Dominion, I'm only a 10-minute drive away. So,
that's awesome. Thank you.
All right. Perfect. I think I got a picture of you, pal. All right, very good. Okay, that's good. Thank you very much. Okay, another mobber on the show. I wonder how he got through. Thank you, Greg. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming on. I love you guys so much. God bless you, my friend. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. That's right. That's Greg Rader, Dr. Greg Rader, and we will take a break. When we come back on the Mike O'Meara Show, we will be delving into the estate planning for Oscar's dad right here on the Mike O'Meara Show. Let's open up the audio vault for today. Take it away, Rob.
Who is the captain now?
Oh, dear.
Diddle.
Oh, no.
Doctor. Diddle.
Fun is the best thing to have.
Dumpster! The digital dumpster.
Audio oddities and digital diversions. Don't miss the digital dumpster every day on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Some metal!
Digital dumpster.
Double D. Yes, anyway. The double D.
Hey, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. And seriously, thanks to Greg Rader. I love the Talking Heads. And that guy was a absolute skilled ball buster. I'm not sure, and I probably never will know, whether he intended to do that or anything like that. And hold on.
It was like a roast, Mike. It was like a roast.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Before we even knew it was a roast.
Absolutely. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by Stamps.com. Going to the post office, probably not how you want to spend your time, people. That's why I recommend mailing and shipping online at Stamps.com. Stamps.com allows you to mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. You can send letters, you can ship packages, and you pay a lot less with discounted rates from USPS and UPS and more. With Stamps.com, you get discounts up to 40% off post office rates and up to 62% off UPS shipping rates. It's no wonder nearly 1 million small businesses already use Stamps.com, just like us.
Just like
Stop wasting time going to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There is absolutely no risk, and with the promo code TMOS, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale, and no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com, promo code TMOS. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again, people. Welcome back to the show. Oscar's got to beat feet out of here in about 5 or 6 minutes,
yes.
But I did want to touch on this weekend. Your brother Jose, you're picking him up at the airport a little later on, just about an hour from now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very curious as to what's going to... By the way, is the weather okay? Is he going to be able to make it into town today and everything? Is everything going to be all
right? My wife is...
My wife.
He's supposed to be getting in at 9:05. Looks like he'll be in at 9:25 now, just 20-minute delay. Not too bad.
I think that they've had enough time to pre-treat the runways. It's not so cold that a salted runway is going to freeze.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to be all right.
By the way, did you have any trouble getting into work today?
It was a little slippery getting out of the neighborhood.
Side streets are bad, but you know, the toll road's dry. So it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The roads are dry.
Dry.
That's from the Jane Austen movie, Sense and Sensibility. The roads were dry. Miss Dashwood, I will and always, my heart will and always has been yours.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I just had
why
to do,
do
that.
They talk, why do beautiful. They say the roads are dry in that? Is there a blizzard?
Because he was coming from, I'm glad you are. I'm glad that you asked. Well, he's coming from London.
Oh, okay.
To the country. And of course, they did not have pavement.
Mm.
Mm. They did not have pavement. So when he said the roads were dry, that would indicate that with dirt roads and the wheels of the carriages.
I understand
that
the wagon wheels.
They were taken from London. If the roads were wet, that would, of course, cause pitting and pothole.
Well, is not the mud loathsome?
It's loathsome. And they also said in the same thing when the carriage pulled up to the social event of the summer. She said, "Be careful, girls. The horses have been here." Which means the horse took a...
There was a cat.
I'll get to you in a second. Let's see. He's only here for a few more minutes.
Okay. Yes.
All right. What's going on?
My brother's vaccinated. He's got the double dose. He's a doctor on the front lines. He's going to land. We still got to take him the same day testing right away. Get the antigen test.
Being overcautious with dealing with your elderly parents.
My parents!
Mm-hmm.
Are they still doing the same day testing at the Hudson News there at National?
No, I'm driving him to the one in Georgetown.
Okay, so it's not in the airport. I was just double checking.
And then,
like a ham and cheese sandwich and to get tested.
And Life magazine.
Thank you.
He'll drop me off at work, move on with life. He'll take my our car, go down to see my parents, and then drive back and pick us up and then drive us back to our parents' house. Long day for him.
It's you and Jose, your mom and dad.
Yeah.
This weekend, family meeting. You're staying over there tonight?
No, because we have Rob and I will talk about this later, but we have a charity event tomorrow that I already had on the calendar weeks ago.
Are you going to the Torpedo Factory again?
Yeah. At 1 p.m., let me tell you.
It's a virtual thing.
It'll be an hour.
Why do you have to go if it's a virtual thing?
I think they want to see us there with the art together.
We got to be on set with the art.
Yeah. So it's just going to be you guys and not the whole big crowd now?
Right.
No, it's going to happen?
It's all done. Actually, it's very – well, we'll talk about it on Monday after we do it, but they've actually computerized the whole thing, so a six-hour event. We'll take 1 hour.
Great.
What was the? Did you do it? Was last year like the last?
The last thing we did, and the world shut down.
Because we were talking last year about how I had a charity event. This is the time of year when they do this kind of stuff.
Yes.
With that, so it'll be you, Jose, staying through Sunday. Is that when he goes back on Sunday?
At 8 a.m. Sunday morning.
So Saturday is the day.
Yes,
you sit down with Mama y Papa, and you are going to and everybody's on board with this meeting. Or
well, my mom's not part of the meeting. You know, it's men, no women. So
Latin.
My sister stays in L.A. I don't think she even cares what's going on.
Latin buttons.
My brother and I and my father will go into my father's study, and my father will. Yeah, probably read some sort of Festivus decree of how much he hates us, and then
is his study all dark wood?
Oh, yeah, it's like you've been there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I thought so.
And then at that point, we will go through what I thought we went through years ago, which was a living will, and that was signed. I remember doing this 55, like when he was 55, double nickels when I was a kid,
right?
Sitting at his desk and him laying out everything that was there. I guess my brother wants to do now that he's older and knows a thing or two about a thing or two is make sure everything is nice and tight. So
can I ask you one last question?
Yes.
Because I would be the whole purpose of this, really, I have to confess something, is just to me know what you want.
What do I want?
The overwhelming success of both your brother, and I'm talking financial success, of your brother and your sister. And you, I think, have been remarkably successful in a field to get on the radio to start with.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
To have a show on the radio that involves your
English
personality.
English as my second language, Mike.
As English as your second language is a second tier of success.
Yes.
To get a master's degree, an MBA, a master's of business administration is even. So I consider you successful. But financially, we have always discussed our struggles and what goes on.
We've got
my
a runway,
question
Mike.
To you. With the estate. And I'm sure your father is amassed, living in Olney for all those years.
Yeah.
A few shekels in the bank. Do you feel...
Known cheapskate, my father.
Parsimonious. Yeah.
For a known cheapskate, but the money's got to go somewhere, correct?
If it was for the World Book, he'd pay for it. Anything for school, he'd pay for it. So he spent his money in the right places.
But there is, I would assume there is somewhat of a nest egg. Would that be correct?
Oh, yeah. There has to be.
There is no need to buy the brand name cereal.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Britannica is a ripoff.
We can deal with this on Monday.
Why not?
Is there, as far as you know, any kind of pecking order based on need with the children?
Oh, see, I've never... My sister has said, well, you're probably going to get the house. And because they live in California, why would they want a house in Olney, right?
Right.
And then my brother's
more
like...
You certainly could use the house.
I mean, I'll take a house. I'm not going to lie about that, but...
I'll take a house.
My mom still lives.
I'll take this pile of bricks.
What a bitchin' shack.
Okay, the house, but your mom's still a young woman.
My mom's still there, so she's in the way, right? So we're going to... I mean, she can live there. So
kind of you. She can remain.
She's fine. My mom can have whatever she wants.
All right, really? I know you're on a time. I could do this. Could
it's
be
fine.
A 35
no,
minutes.
It's fine. We're good. We're good.
I have to ask you this, Oscar. Okay, so that the house may be going to you.
No, it won't. Because we already broached this on the phone with my brother because he's getting ahead of the game because that's what he does. As an anesthesiologist, he plans it out.
He said,
look, the house, 3-way split. It goes to mom first, and then it comes to us 3-way split. And I was like, okay. And
those
a part of me didn't die inside.
Meaning
bastards.
That you have to sell it and then split the money?
That's what.
Well, you could probably live in it, right? Would they let you live in it?
I could.
Yeah,
I
for 4 months a year.
They're coming back.
It's got a beautiful view of Cashel Road.
And the house obviously has appreciated significantly in value.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah. God bless.
I have to ask you, Oscar, it is not your entire childhood, but it is your childhood home. Do you have an emotional attachment to that house?
No.
Everybody would. You don't?
No. Really?
No. Because I moved in when we were in high school. My dad...
but still... Okay.
Much like I'm doing to Shannon, my dad made us stay in a townhouse that was too small for everybody for years before he decided to buy something bigger.
So all right. So that's nurture. Everything's basically going to be divvied up among the three.
Okay. Yes.
The three siblings
equally.
The
only thing I honestly want that I think that I could probably get, and this is no shtick, is my father's desk. That's all I want.
You know, you're like me. All right. You're
it's
like,
very cool.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I believe you with all of my heart. Because you're, yeah, and you know, and Rob's the same way. I mean, it really comes down to, I remember getting, there was a little bit of money in my mom's accounts, and I remember getting it. My sister and I getting an inheritance. I could not believe that she had managed to do that.
Yeah.
It was not a lot of money, but it was still made me cry. And because I never even gave it a second thought.
Yeah.
We all feel the same way about our mom and dad, you know, you know, nothing. If there's nothing left and they can be around for longer, that's
I'll take that.
Matters.
And
I literally sit behind Big Daddy's desk at home. That's my desk. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's so neat. Oscar.
And,
I love
if there, if it. If there is like, if nobody shows interest in the place in Argentina, that might be nice as well.
Oh, I forgot Argentina. I still want to lobby for a showdown.
Argentina.
Could we do a show in Argentina someday? Could we do a show in Argentina possibly
ever? That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Could it be ever possible to go down to South America?
Yeah,
it's the only country in South America I really want that's at the top of the list.
I would love to go down there and tell all the people not to cry for me.
We can't take him. He's going to embarrass us.
He'll stay back here because he's such a dope.
I'll run the board. Yeah.
No, but I didn't care about that. Yeah. I really didn't care about money or anything. I cared about my parents. Even in my 20s, when I was successful. Greg. Anyway, thank you. We got to get out of here. Safe travels to the airport. We'll come back with the homepage right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Everybody, we'll be right back. Thank you. Hello, everybody. This is Bob Barker. And yes, I'm still alive. When I was hosting The Price is Right from Television City in Hollywood, we played a lot of pricing games. Barker's Bargain Bar, Hole in One, Punch-A-Budge, Grocery Game, Golden Road, Plinko, and of course the lamest one of all, the bonus game. I hated the bonus game. If you want a good bonus, why not try the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show? It's a commercial-free, uncensored 6 hour of TMOS every week. Blah, blah, blah. I like when they say bad words. That's how much it meant to me. You can buy it at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It's a fun way to support TMOS. Thank you. And don't forget to help control the internet population. Have your podcasters spayed or neutered. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you, Bob. Welcome.
Thank you, Bob.
Welcome back. Hey, Bob.
I love when you throw it to yourself and then you thank yourself.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. A long time ago in an apartment in Southern California, two college dropouts teamed up to create a watch company that broke all the rules. That watch company was called Movement. They have fair prices, unexpected colors, and clean, original designs. Movement, that's MVMT, grew into one of the fastest growing watch brands, shipping to over 160 countries across the globe. Movement watches have the look and the quality of a $400 to $500 watch, but cost a fraction of that because they own their process from start to finish. We all have our Movement watches. They're fantastic. Now Movement has expanded into blue light glasses, minimalist jewelry, and style essentials that don't break the bank, and they are all designed out of their California headquarters. It really helps with eye strain and poor sleeping patterns, and I love the modern style of the frames at Movement. Remember that, MVMT, all right? If you want to elevate your look with style that doesn't break the bank, then join the Movement and get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to MVMT.com/TMOS. Again, that's MVMT.com/TMOS for Movement. And we appreciate it, Bob Barker.
This is the homepage.
The homepage. That's right. We got to get to it today. You guys did not get the weather that you were expected to get earlier.
They totally blew it again. They have not gotten one winter event right this year.
Well, one of the cool things for our friends in Texas is that many of the millions of Texans who lost power for days after a deadly winter blast overwhelmed the electrical grid have now gotten it back. But the crisis was far from over in parts of the South, with many people lacking safe drinking water. You've got this ridiculous cold wave that came through the cold front in areas that just don't get them. And it's the weather extremes that many scientists will tell you come from climate change. And you've got people that are dealing with stuff they've never had to deal with. I went through an ice storm up in New England one time, had frozen pipes, know what it's like. I was looking at the pictures last night where they had this ceiling fan at what appeared to be an apartment complex. And you saw the icicles hanging off of it. And people are freaked out. They're boiling snow and trying to do other things just to get drinking water, running out of food. It's been a nightmare. About 325,000 homes and businesses remain without power in Texas on Thursday. That's down from about 3 million a day earlier, though utility officials said limited rollbacks and rolling blackouts were still possible. Absolutely a nightmare situation.
It's horrible. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, the 60 is the new 70 and how we're all getting older. You think back.
Right.
These are places where the infrastructure is 100 years old.
Yep.
Those pipes are 100, 120 years old. And again, really not suited for these temperatures because things have changed.
Well, and that's a little good news out of Texas, and I really do hope that
ahead.
A NASA rover, this is finally good news, landed on Mars.
Mars
on Thursday, yesterday, completing an epic journey that could bring back evidence that life existed on the red planet. Ground controllers, I love watching the video when they're successful. They raised their hands up in the air. They were cheering. It was cheering for triumph and relief at the same time. It was awesome.
I know you love it. I actually pulled a couple pieces of audio. Would you like to hear the moment that it landed? Because
love
it's a pretty cool moment.
By the way, it's called Perseverance, and it touched down on Mars. And then I'll tell you what the head of the show said. It's great.
Touchdown confirmed. Perseverance safely on the surface of Mars, ready to begin seeking the sands of past life.
There it is.
Wow, we got it.
Wow.
This is so exciting. The team is beside themselves. It's so surreal.
I can't imagine the sigh of relief when something like that goes down. That's crazy.
Does not get the attention that it should. It does not get the spotlighted attention that it should. It really does still, even though it's amazing. And the graphics that show the Perseverance, the rover that's landing, they're so good. I had a problem. I'm yelling at my wife. I'm going, is that video or is that a simulation? I couldn't tell what I was looking at. Thomas Zurbuchen. It's Zurbuchen.
It's pronounced Smith.
he's NASA's science mission chief. He said, now, this is a cool quote, now the amazing science begins.
I love that.
Which is very, very cool that this is going to happen. And I can't wait to see what the deal is. The NFL is apparently in the process of developing different helmets for each position. And the first one is undergoing testing right now. It was built specifically for offensive and defensive linemen and provides additional support in the front where they tend to collide the most. It looks a little different, but I'm picturing a big bulb on the front of the helmet.
You know, they've designed a helmet also for owner Robert Kraft that also has extra support in the front.
That's based on him saying, now the front.
Exactly.
It looks a little different, but they're not reinventing the wheel. The company that made it says the extra support in the front area of the helmet adds about 6 ounces of weight, but other than that, it's the same as the helmets used by all NFL players. And after having that audio on the show yesterday about concussion protocol, I'm glad that they're doing it. All right, here are celebrities. There's a list of, I got 6 or 7 of them right here that had minor tweaks to their names. And I based it on celebrities that might, you know, matter.
Okay.
Not all of them, but here we go. Meryl Streep was born Mary Streep. Her father nicknamed her Meryl, and initially she hated it and wanted to be called Patty or Kathy. Emma Stone was born Emily Stone.
Okay.
Tia Leone was born Tia Pantaleone.
guys are so good. Why are you changing your name?
Hey, I work at a store. I work in a men's department, just a specific area. My name is Vito Pantaleone. Come on over. Try on a new pair of slacks. Barbara Streisand was born Barbara Streisand. I never paid attention to this. She dropped one of the A's. Did you know that?
Yeah, that was when she was trying to be so, you know, hip and vogue in the 60s. She became from Barbara to Barbara.
Barbara, B-A-R-B-R-A.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
All right. Oprah Winfrey was born Orpa. I'm not lying. This is the
truth. No, that can't be true.
O-R-P-A-H Winfrey. Her name evolved into Oprah because people didn't know how to pronounce Orpa.
But Oprah's not that common either. I mean, it's just, I think that might be a typo somewhere along the way.
It says that people didn't know how to pronounce her name. She changed it to Oprah. Jennifer Aniston was Jennifer Anastasakis. I didn't know she was Greek.
Oh, you know who her godfather is? It's Telly Savalas.
Okay, so she's got the Greek background. Mm-hmm. This is a big stretch. That was her father's last name, Anastasakis. But his family anglicized it when they moved to the U.S. from Greece when he was two. And I guess he changed it to Aniston.
All right.
Sigourney Weaver was born Susan Weaver. She changed her name to Sigourney when she was 14 after reading The Great Gatsby. Is there a Sigourney in The Great Gatsby?
I don't recall one, but I guess there is, yeah.
She also hated being called Susie. I thought that was interesting.
I like her. Great showbiz family.
More movie news for you. Cameron Diaz has not done a movie. This is amazing when you think about it. Since 2014.
Really?
And I'm a huge fan of hers. You probably shouldn't expect her acting hiatus to end anytime soon. She is busy working on her organic wine business and raising her one-year-old daughter. She said, quote, "Will I ever make a movie again? I'm not looking to. But will I? I don't know. I have no idea. Never say never, but I couldn't imagine having to be on a movie set that takes 14 hours, 16 hours of my day away from my child." So I don't think we'll see Cameron Diaz anytime soon.
Good, you know, obviously she's got her priorities in place, but that's sad because she's fun to look at on the screen. You know, there's something about Mary. She will always live on for that.
And I think Bad Teacher was right around one of the last movies.
Oh, that's
movies.
A good one, too. And The Mask, fantastic. Of course, The Mask.
And now a little something-something, Rob Spiewak. Yes. There's a 26-year-old guy named Kyle Weiss in Vero Beach, Florida. And on Wednesday afternoon, he was parking his Kia. No, he was parked in his Kia.
Okay.
In a Walmart parking lot.
Well, you proceed, Mike, I just want you to say, you've set the table with a Walmart parking lot in Vero Beach, Florida.
Yeah.
Just so we know where we're at.
Well, he was getting it on with himself.
And
his windows were open.
Oh.
A woman saw him in the car, called the cops. When they got there, Kyle did get out of the car.
Good.
And according to the police report, it says Kyle, the officer said, "I noticed that he had an obvious..."
Okay, understood.
"He had an obvious Ron Burgundy..."
Yes.
"...protruding in his shorts." That's a quote from the police report. Kyle eventually admitted what he was doing, and his excuses were he didn't know anyone could see him. And now, when you're in a car and you're doing that, he was lonely because his ex-girlfriend is in Colorado. He was arrested for exposure of sexual organs and disorderly conduct. But he did bring his shopping cart back to the cart corral.
That's nice.
Nice going, Kyle. We will take a break and we will come back with the final audio vault of the week right here on the Mike O'Bara Show, everybody.
For your consideration.
Brie, American, Gouda, mild cheddar, camembert, provolone, baby bell, parmesan, mascarpone, burrata, feta, ricotta, Gruyere, Asiago, gorgonzola, Havarti, Monterey Jack, Stilton, Swiss, Fontina, Pecorino Romano, and Buffalo mozzarella.
She didn't name all of the cheeses, but she named enough of the cheeses. She's Madeline Masiello, the queen of cheese, only on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And she also knows her way around a video production, and she's doing a great job, so our hats off to Maddie. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Harry's. You know, between quality or a fair price, sometimes you have to choose. Let me tell you about Harry's. They give you award-winning blades at factory direct prices, and for a limited time, my favorite razor in the whole world, Harry's, is offering their starter set plus a free body wash for just $3 at harrys.com/TMOS. $3!
That's all! $3. Nobody
Harry's holla. Delivers a close, comfortable shave at a fair price. Harry's team combined a simple ergonomic design with five sharp blades. Harry's German factory is one of the select few manufacturers in the world that have mastered the technology to create a Gothic arch. That's the gold standard for razor blade grinding. Mm-hmm. They stand behind the quality of their blades so much that they have a 100% money-back guarantee at Harry's.com. And by the way, I've told you this for years, that I use everything from Harry's.
Yes.
I use the shave gel, which is spectacular.
The best,
I
actually.
Use the body wash. I love the stuff. It's fantastic. You will, too. You're going to love it. And remember, limited time, Harry's has this exclusive offer. You get a Harry's starter set and a free body wash for just $3 at harrys.com/TMOS. That, my friends, is over a $16 value for just $3. You get a five-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, and travel-size body wash. It's an incredible deal, so act fast while supplies last. Go to harrys.com/TMOS to redeem your offer, and you are going to love it. All right, let's get our new sound out here. There we go.
Oh, it's the Double D.
The Double D, the Digital Dumpster with Rob Spiewak, the last one of the week. Take it away, Robbie.
Before we close the door on the Mars rover landing, I did notice this yesterday on CNN. They interviewed an administrator. His name was Steve Jurczyk, and he kind of sounds like he might be on the Californians.
This mission also has technology on it. One of the cool things is the Ingenuity helicopter, and also use it as a scout for future rover missions. That will be an amazing mission, the first round trip to Mars and back, and bringing those samples cached by Perseverance back to Earth to examine with state-of-the-art equipment in our laboratories here on Earth.
Mike, literally a rocket scientist.
They are in Palo Alto, are they not? That's where they are?
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Look
when
at that.
When are you going to get moon samples back? Mars.
That is so California. The Californians. Way to go to the people out in Palo Alto.
It's so cool.
I love this story. I can't wait to see the pictures come back.
Mike, we talked earlier in the show, actually, we come full circle about effective advertising. We talked about that Q107 commercial, and thanks to this guy, he passed away yesterday, sadly. We, to this day, remember the rating of a movie called Disorderlies. Because
rated
of
PG, one of the... Wait a minute, hold on. I know what they are, Disorderlies. I forgot the name of the group.
Mike, it's Prince Marky D of the Fat Boys.
The Fat Boys.
Has passed at age 52. And you know what? I'll cop to this. I loved this song. I can remember in high school playing it and singing it with my friends.
They were a little rest. They were like the African American version of the Beastie Boys.
Yeah. I think they predated the Beastie Boys a little bit.
So the Beastie Boys stole their...
Sort of,
I'd love to know that because it's obviously the same sound.
Yeah.
You know?
What the Fat Boys did, they were good at glomming on to a white group and allowing them to cross over. They did it with the Beach Boys. And they also, although not a white guy, they did a crossover with Chubby Checker with the Twist. So they marketed themselves very well, and they made a movie. Of course,
Disorderlies.
Disorderlies!
Rated PG.
Now you think you're having a bad day.
Yeah.
Let's say you live in Alaska and you still have an outhouse. That's not great to begin with. But you go out
there. That can be dangerous in certain times of the year.
It can be, because there are sometimes access holes to the outhouse, I guess, for cleaning. And what had gotten into the outhouse was a bear.
Sat down on the toilet seat and something just immediately bit me in the butt.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to open the lid and look. And I take the headlamp and I grab the lid of the toilet seat and I lift it up. And right there, right at the level of the toilet seat, like maybe an inch or two below, is a gigantic bear face looking right back up at me.
It felt like just a single, like, puncture. Maybe it wasn't even a bite. Like, it might have been a swipe with his claw, potentially. I mean, I'm definitely going to look down in the hole next time.
That's the whole tape.
Wait a minute. So I'm thinking outhouse. I'm thinking the idea of... An outhouse is basically a wooden structure that is structured over a hole in the ground.
But this one had an access hole covered by rocks on the outside, I guess, for eventual cleaning. And the bear had gotten in via this outside access hole. And when the woman sat
down, it didn't, like, crawl into the outhouse and go down through
the
hole.
No, it came in via the hole. Right, right. Hey, boo-boo.
Oh, my God. So it's very dangerous in Alaska, that breed. They're called eating grizzlies. They're very That's nasty. Well, I would imagine if he was stuck in there, he'd be pretty pissed off, too, with that. But that's nasty.
Actually, it was a brown bear.
A brown bear. Yum. Yum. That's
Sorry lovely. About that. Fantastic. All right. Hated music. Do you have any bands that you just outwardly hate? I hate Luke Bryan, but do you have any ones that you hate?
You're not going to like this at all.
That's fine.
The Moody Blues. I cannot stand
the Moody Blues. Oh, that's right. You do hate the Moody Blues. That's right. Yeah. You've banned them from the show.
I do not like the Moody Blues.
And one of my favorite bands.
You love the Moody Blues.
I do. I've seen them in concert six or seven times.
You love Bread. I like Bread. I don't know. I can't tell you. Maybe you could tell me. I can't tell you what
I think you perceive them as taking themselves too musically serious for a band. And they do. They're over the top, and they did some stuff, especially in the early 70s, that's pretty trippy and heady stuff, but they're still a great band.
Downers. I found that it's downer music.
It can be. It can be. Usually side B of their LPs are pretty down. Side A can be all right. I'm a big fan. My mom was a huge fan, and I think that's
what is your least favorite band, really?
Well, I hate Pink Floyd. I cannot do Pink Floyd. Ugh, please.
You want to know another one since we're on the subject?
Yeah.
The Steve Miller Band.
Is that because they were overplayed?
Overplayed, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
During the 80s when I was playing the hits, maybe.
I think that Steve Miller has the best Steve Miller stuff is the stuff you don't hear a lot.
We're pissing a lot of people off right now,
good.
By the way.
Let
there are a
die.
Lot of Floyd fans out there, and I think we both agree, and this can button the whole subject up, that we both can agree that we do not like Jimmy Buffett music.
Oh, the worst. Lazy.
Don't care for Jimmy Buffett. That's the tip in lazy.
But, Mike, there's a website called Best Life, and they don't. This is what makes me like this. They don't say how it is, but they say, we have statistically proven the most hated bands in current pop music. They don't say how they proved it. They just say they did. At number three, Creed. Well, I just heard
the news number three? Today.
The third most hated band based on statistics.
No way. No, I mean, as much as I do not, first of all, I don't have a big love affair with Creed, but there's just no way this would be the most hated band. It's
and
not
also,
a bad band.
The thing about it is that that Arms Wide Open song was a hit when Julia was a baby. And
I think it's a good record.
Yeah. So this always made me cry. Okay, they say the number two, I think you might agree with this one. Number two most hated band, Limp Bizkit. Doesn't offer a lot, does it?
You know how I feel about Limp Bizkit? I really don't even... Putting them on any kind of list.
That's giving them too much credit?
It's giving them too much credit.
Even if it's a hated list, I'm with you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You should have maybe 5 hit records if you're going to be on a list like that, and they don't. So that's the way I look at
that. And Mike, at number one, a band that has literally become a punchline. The most hated band, proven by statistics, Nickelback. This is how you remind me
of what I really am. This is how you remind me. Let me tell you, my take on the list is that it's relatively a young list.
Oh, so let's ask Maddie. Maddie, how do you weigh in on those three bands as being hated?
The only one I really know is Nickelback, which obviously, yes, you're supposed to hate Nickelback.
Well, you know what? I don't really have a dog in that fight, Maddie, but when I hear Nickelback, it's no stretch at all for me to hate them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
none whatsoever.
Very easy to hate. I don't really know Creed and then Limp Bizkit. I've heard the name, but I don't know their music.
Yeah. Wow. No, Limp Bizkit doesn't belong on any list as far as I'm concerned.
All right.
But, what we're hoping for, we're hoping for retro, and I think they should have gone back further with bands that are hated. I think there are people that hate ABBA. Believe it or not, with all the movie success and all that, there is a subset of people that hate that. Limp Bizkit, I don't know what they were doing.
I think a lot of people until recently hated the Bee Gees, and I think they've had a resurgence and a new appreciation for what they've done. But yeah, if you go through never. Well, Mike, by the way, you look great in that white suit today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, the music that works, and I love this, and please, people, don't send me these. I see them. You don't need to say. But a clever mashup is something I love. And I know that sometimes you appreciate them as well.
Yeah, I do.
Eminem and ELO, the Electric Light Orchestra. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think that Lose Yourself and Mr. Blue Sky work together. This is everything you ever wanted. In one moment. Did you capture? Just let it slip. Yo. His palms are sweaty, knees weak,
arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. Snap back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity. His whole back to these ropes.
The only problem is it makes the rap too happy.
It takes a while, but then when you dive into it, Eminem is such a talent.
Oh, he is.
And ELO musically is so spectacular.
Oh, the best, yeah.
It's just, do I think it's the best mashup I've ever heard? Not even close, but the idea of marrying those two bands, pretty good stuff. I don't mind Eminem at all.
I really admire the people that have the musical wherewithal to hear something that will work and make it work. I think that's really brilliant.
Yeah, and by the way, Eminem for me, the older I get, the more I like him, so...
Today's final tape on the Digital Dumpster, I actually chose for Maddie because she loves that show, The Bachelor. And there is this was viral and it was trending yesterday. There's a comedian, her name is Caitlin Riley, and she says this is every contestant on the show, The Bachelor.
Chad and I had an amazing day today. After this, we're going to sit down and have a picnic where hopefully we can get closer and talk about our past childhood traumas. I really feel like today is the day I finally share with him. I almost died when I was 13 after my pet horse tried to trample me to death. And then my parents had to sell it. Other than that, I feel like Chad and I are in a really good place. We have a lot in common. We love guacamole. So I think that he's the one.
What do you think, Maddie? Is that pretty dead on?
That pretty dead on. I love that the bachelor's name was Chad.
That's your Chad. Magic audio. That's your digital dumpster, damn it.
You've done it weekend. Every day this week. Get help for it.
I know.
Anyway. Maybe,
I caught it that time. Caught it.
Change is hard for Rob Spiewak. That's it. We got to get out of here. Have a great weekend, everybody. And we will be back with brand new shows starting Monday. Thank you for all the feedback this week. We truly appreciate that. For Ponyboy Matt Bloom, Maddie Masiello, Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Meara saying have a fabulous weekend. Be safe. And we'll see you Monday. Bye-bye, everybody.
Ciao.
Want more?
Make sure you check out the Mike O'Meara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MearaShow.com.
Mike O'Meara Radio Entertainment.
Good job.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Oh, good for you.